The commissioner of a major state office announced her retirement earlier this month, but is there more to the story than just someone stepping down? Following the news about Connecticut Office of Health Strategy Commissioner Deidre Gifford, a letter is now demanding transparency and accountability that has surfaced from state lawmakers. Senator Steve Harding actually wrote that letter and joins us now. Senator Harding, welcome back. What's the story with Commissioner Gifford?
Well, Melissa, thank you for having me. It's always great to be on your program. Thanks for all you do to get the information out to your many listeners. But, I think it's a consequence, in my opinion, of the governor just not really being home in terms of, you know, overseeing his critical aspect of his job, which is overseeing the many state employees we have throughout the state and their actions, particularly the commissioners. And I think it's, you know, Commissioner Gifford is yet another one of those individuals in which is a consequence of the governor just not being around to administer in his role of the governor and overseeing all the state employees. You're seeing the same thing here as you did in similar ways to Chancellor Chang, that basically when you have a governor come out and say it's small ball, somebody taking money from $30,000 in taxpayer money to pay for lavish meals and alcohol and travel and everything else for his own personal benefit, and for the governor to come out and say it's small ball. And then you see something in which the commissioner of OHS come away and deliberate in any manner she sees fit. And prior to that, then helped obfuscate Mr. Diamatis, who worked for the Department of Administrative Services, and helping for payment get rid of a multiple hundreds of thousands of dollars fine for misusing the Medicaid system in our state, and essentially allowing somebody that he got paid for to do to steal money from the state what the state was owed. And you see Commissioner Gifford at the time, who was not working as commissioner of OHS, but was working in another state role, basically helping quash this investigation, all while the governor was in office. And then you see this all revealed, and the governor comes out and just doesn't hold any consequences against the commissioner, and to your point, allows the commissioner to continue to serve in their role, despite the fact that there was with all due respect, criminal action taken by her and others. Who is home?
Right, yeah,
who is watching all this? This is all taxpayer money.
It's interesting you bring up the CSCU Chancellor Terrence Chang, because that was sort of the feel I got. So when I first saw the email that Commissioner Gifford was retiring, I thought, well, here's somebody who's been working in a lot of our state agencies. I know she used to come on my show in 2020 when she was in charge of public health at the time. She'd been the acting, the commissioner at the time, and she came on. We talked about COVID. So I had had her on my show. I haven't had her on, honestly, since 2020, but she's been in different roles, certainly at the state level. But then CT Mirror over the weekend released a report, and it talks about what you're discussing right now, Senator Harding. It says that this is in their article over the weekend. It says that there was a decision to cancel a 2020 audit that threatened to expose how a Connecticut eye doctor with powerful political connections had billed the state's Medicaid program for procedures she never performed, according to documents. It says emails and text messages obtained by the Connecticut Mirror show that Deidre Gifford, the former commissioner of the Department of Social Services and current leader of the Office of Health Strategy, was in fact involved in discussions about the state's audit of this person, Helen Zervis, apparently the owner of Family Eye Care in Bristol, in the days before officials decided to abandon that probe. And as you mentioned, costing a lot of money, $599,000 to the state's Medicaid program, according to records. Again, this is all in Connecticut Mirror. So it begs that question again. You're talking about something that dates back months. Why is this decision happening now? And it's being sort of made out to be like, oh, I'm stepping down. I'm going to be retiring. And there's not this immediacy, and there's sort of a lack of transparency and, quite frankly, accountability. You outline that in this letter you just sent out to the governor.
Right. And Melissa, you're exactly right. You laid it out perfectly, which this is all relates back to Kostas Diamatis, who was indicted. I don't know if they've been indicted yet, but I know he's been at the least arrested for multitude of crimes, bribery, et cetera, that led to his arrest while he was working at DAS, a very powerful person at DAS. And allegedly what occurred was, in the case that involves Commissioner Gifford, was that I believe it was a state rep, his girlfriend was connected to Costas Diamandis, because they're all kind of, I think they were in the same circle of friends, or grew up together, or there might even have been a relation there in terms of family, but there was close connections to your point. And Mr. Diamandis essentially canceled this investigation, and with the help of Deirdre Gifford at the time. And my understanding is the allegations against Mr. Diamandis is that he received a payout for his assistance in getting this investigation quashed, which is blatantly illegal under every statute you could look at. And essentially, as I mentioned, Ms. Gifford was involved in this. I mean, this is something that if you had consequences as a governor, if you told your state employees, as the manager of the state employees throughout the state, we're not going to accept this, whether it be bribery, whether it be waste and abuse of taxpayer funds that a lot of people in the state work so very hard to get and give it away to our state government, that I'm not going to allow this any longer. I'm going to show other state employees there are consequences for bribery, for waste, for fraud, for abuse, because I cherish the hardworking people of the state. They give a lot of money to the state. The least they deserve is good, efficient services and not a waste and abuse of this hard-earned taxpayer money. And it seems like time and time and time and time again, the governor comes out and protects these state employees who, in some cases, are blatantly violating the law. And he doesn't have any consequences from people to say, how is that service to the people that you represent as governor? What is it saying to them?
It's certainly not a good message. Right. And Senator Harding, here's my question for you. The last time you and I spoke about a similar situation was Mr. Chang, as we talked about before. I'm curious. I mean, you to me were one of the most outspoken lawmakers, and I don't say that as a point of criticism. I'm saying that it was very hard to overlook how upset you were, and certainly a lot of constituents felt happy that you were speaking out so publicly about this. What came of that, though? I mean, did the governor acknowledge, like, hey, we shouldn't maybe allow, you know, Terrence Chang to still remain in a pretty high-paying state office job? I mean, what came of that? And the reason I say that is not because I'm, again, criticizing, but, I mean, I would like to see, you know, something happened in the sense of, hey, you know what? We messed up. We really shouldn't do this. We should hold people accountable, so on and so forth. Did you get any response?
So we did to some extent. So I would argue the governor and the Board of Regents, who oversees the contract for Mr. Chang, tried to come out and say, we didn't renew his contract as chancellor, kind of saying that, you know, we in a way fired him for the additional year that they were expected to have him on as chancellor because his contract was up. And so they tried to come out, and if you look, there was a kind of a press effort on their part to try to make the stance. And some of the original press calls I were getting was trying to get a response from me on the quote-unquote firing or non-renewal of the contract of Chancellor Chang. But it was factually untrue, because really what they did, and I know you've been following this, Melissa, is they said, okay, you're not going to remain as chancellor any longer. However, we're going to keep you on for another year, give you a job that's unspecified as to what you're going to do to earn your salary, and guarantee you that we're going to pay you $445,000 a year. Now, what job on earth are you first promised the salary you're going to receive, and in terms of what you're going to do to earn that salary, you're told we'll figure it out at some point later? And so it goes to show how irresponsible this is. And on top of that, as I mentioned, Melissa, not only that, they played a game with it and tried to get cute and say, well, we didn't renew his contract. Well, you did when you gave the guy a $445,000 a year job.
Right. You basically allowed him to work for the state and in higher education. You just aren't keeping him as the chancellor. Correct.
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 And even worse, Melissa, even worse, they're now on a taxpayer dime going to have to hire another chancellor while they're still paying this guy nearly $500,000 a year. It's a complete waste of taxpayer money. So, but I have proposed legislation with the Senate Republican caucus that says that now going forward, any salary over $400,000 a year offered by the Boards of Regents has to have legislative oversight. Now, we ran that as an amendment. It was a completely party line vote. Every Republican voted yes on the amendment. Every Democrat voted no. And it's just, we're going to keep on fighting this effort, but at some point, because the governor's clearly not willing to do it, at some point we have to have an organization in the building. I think that's the Senate Republicans calling these individuals out for the waste, fraud, and abuse, and then actually proposing legislation to ensure it doesn't happen. And there's a management system or regulations put in place where we as a legislature can regulate just the blatant waste of taxpayer money, which we're seeing here with Chancellor Chang and with Commissioner Gifford, for that matter, too.
Senator Harding, I want to thank you so much for sounding the alarm about this. And certainly we have a copy of your letter. I'm sure it's going to be made public very soon. I thank you so much for sharing the details with us first, though, here on WICC. We'll see what happens.